we find there is this sense among too many that we Catholics go way too far when it comes to the Blessed Virgin Mary. I mean, what is all the fuss about Mary? What's the big deal about Mary? You guys, look, she speaks, what, five times in the Bible? As if running your mouth is what's most important. But at any rate, she speaks five times in the Bible. You guys talk about Mary constantly. What gives? And unfortunately, folks, it's not just our Protestant friends, but I've even had Catholics say to me, yeah, you know, why do we focus on Mary so much? I mean, after all that matters is Jesus, right? All that matters is Jesus. It seems like a good argument, doesn't it? Why all the fuss about Mary? Well, when I wrote the book, Behold Your Mother, and it's been over years of research, I set out to, of course, do the exhaustive apologetic on the Blessed Virgin Mary because I really haven't seen anything out there comparable in the sense of a sort of exhaustive and modern approach to Marian apologetics and Mariology. But I also wanted to focus on something that I think is crucial, and that is to understand that knowing the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Marian doctrines is crucial for our spiritual lives. I remember hearing a colleague of mine a few years ago, I will not name him, and he won't make this mistake again because we did talk. And he said, well, you know, when it comes, he happened to be talking about the perpetual virginity of Mary. He said, when it comes to the perpetual virginity of Mary, you know, this is a dogma of the faith that really doesn't affect our spiritual lives. Now, I'm watching with my wife in the living room, and I go, ah! Don't say that. And he went on from there. But absolutely, folks, and one of the, I think, contributions, among others, that this book is going to make theologically is each one of the Marian dogmas, Mother of God, Immaculate Conception, the Assumption, Perpetual Virginity of Mary, and I deal also with co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and her queenship. And in all of those doctrines, we show not just the apologetic reasons for our belief, but we also show why the perpetual virginity of Mary is crucial for our spiritual lives, but why all of the Marian dogmas and doctrines are crucial for our spiritual lives. And to miss it on Mary, you will often end up missing it on Jesus, you will miss it on God, and crucial, you will miss it on who you are as a Christian. Mary, as Lumen Gentium paragraph 65 tells us in the Dogmatic Constitution on the Church from Vatican II, it says, in the life and person of the Blessed Virgin Mary, all of the most important doctrines of the faith are re-echoed. Re-echoed. Notice, she doesn't go out and preach on Pentecost. She doesn't say Mass. Amen? She's not the man, she is the woman. But in her very being, and there is so much for us to learn about that, because of course being must be before there can be doing. That's why the Church in many different documents, the 1975 Declaration on Women and Ordination to the Priesthood and why it cannot happen, the very last section of that document, it reminds us that the Church is first Marian before she is Petrine. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. Mary, in her life, in her being, she re-echoes the most important doctrines of the faith. And we must remember, as I point out again and again, paragraph 89 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it teaches, and I quote, there is an organic connection between the dogmas and our spiritual lives. And if our spiritual lives are upright, we will be receptive to receive the dogmas. In a nutshell, folks, all of the dogmas, not some, and notice it doesn't exclude the Marian dogmas, there is an organic connection between them and our spiritual lives and our spiritual lives and them. There is a reciprocating relationship. And what I'm going to do here in the few minutes that I have with you is to demonstrate two points. I wish I had a few hours, we could talk. But number one, when it comes to Mary as the Mother of God, in the book I mentioned that Dr. Walter Martin was a mentor of mine. How many of you know who that is? Some of you old apologists here, okay. Dr. Walter Martin was a Southern Baptist apologist and theologian who remember it was the highlight of my young Protestant life when I first met him at a conference many years ago. He was a defender of the faith, a Southern Baptist, and he wrote a book called The Kingdom of the Cults. In fact, I have the 1977 edition, and in that book, there's a lot of good information, but oh my goodness, when he gets on Catholicism, it's, you know, nails on chalkboard, right? But in talking about Mary as the mother of God, I figure we'll start here to really do away with. Let's put an end to the myth that Mary doesn't really matter. All that matters is Jesus. Well, Dr. Walter Martin famously in that book denies Mary is the mother of God. And this is nothing new. Goes back a long way. We as Catholics know Patriarch Nestorius, patriarch from 428 to 431, the Council of Ephesus, who was famously excommunicated by Pope Celestine and the Council for his heresy of denying Mary as the mother of God. And when Walter Martin denies Mary as the mother of God, I think he is a snapshot for us concerning why the Marian dogmas are crucial for us to understand, the Marian doctrines. Because when Walter Martin, let's face it, folks, it's easy to deny something. It's easy to say, hey, I don't believe that, right? That's been sort of the essence of Protestantism for 500 years, 480 years, is they're very good at saying what they don't believe. Well, as a former Protestant, I can tell you, I used to just look at you and say, that's what I don't believe, what they say. It's one thing to deny, which is what Protestantism at its core is, a protest. But it's another thing to then build a coherent theology in a positive way that people can latch on to and you can have some semblance of unity around. Walter Martin's a great example of this because when he denies Mary's the mother of God, okay, well, Walter, you need to build a Christology then, because if you deny Mary as the mother of God, there's a very important question that you need to answer. Who is that little boy she gave birth to? Amen? If you say Mary is not the mother of God, well then, who's that little boy? And Walter Martin attempts, as many have over the centuries, and by the way, I'm going to give you a little teaser here. I have a little section in there as well on a modern apologist, Walter Martin is no longer with us, who takes it even a step further, folks, down the road to really an absurd, or what Father John Hardin in his Catholic Catechism called an incoherent Christology without knowing the proper role of the Blessed Mother. You can't have a coherent Christology without understanding the Blessed Mother. But Walter Martin, I'm going to quote to you on page 103 of his 1977 edition of Kingdom of the Cults, because I think it really nails it here. The problems inherent when you deny Mary's the mother of God. Now, you and I as Catholics can know, look, Mary's the mother of God, come on, that's pretty simple stuff. I mean, in Luke chapter 1, verse 43, Elizabeth's famous line, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? I mean, come on. That pretty much says it, doesn't it? Mother of my Lord. Now, of course, Walter Martin, in fact, in the book, I quote my friend Jimmy Swaggart as well, I couldn't resist, who make the point, both of them, that the term kurios can be used for the Lord God of heaven and earth, but it can also be used for a potentate, an earthly authority. For example, in Matthew 21, Jesus talks about the Lord of the vineyard, right? Most translations will translate that as the master or the owner of the vineyard. The Greek word is kurios. We know that. Kurios can be used for an earthly potentate or such. But you and I also know in Luke chapter 1, verse 43, Elizabeth is not talking about some earthly potentate. The mother of my Lord just happens to be the Lord God. And by the way, when you add there that she's quoting almost verbatim 2 Samuel 6, verse 9 from the Old Testament, when King David, after having experienced a powerful manifestation of the power of the Old Covenant, Ark of the Covenant, he exclaims, who am I that the ark of my Lord should come unto me? You know, contextually, folks, David is not talking about the ark of some earthly potentate, but it's the ark of Almighty God. So when Elizabeth quotes almost verbatim those words, there simply is no argument. She's talking about the mother of the Lord, the mother of God, the new covenant ark of the covenant. Now, I'm preaching to the choir here. You and I know, biblically speaking, we can demonstrate Mary's a mother of God. But there's another problem philosophically, folks, and theologically, that enters in.